All right, turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24, and we'll be looking in chapter 24, begin reading at verse 1. You could follow with me in your Bibles, if you would, please. Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the wonderful truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you for the glorious truth and the promise of the resurrection of the believer at that last day. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather together tonight in freedom and enjoy one another's fellowship. But most of all, we can sing praises to you, we can give unto you, we can pray unto you, and we can hear from you. And I just pray, my Lord, that you might bless us tonight with your presence and your power. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people and save the lost. We ask you to do that which is right in your sight, and we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading this passage, a portion of verse 5 jumped out at me. It's these words: "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now, where were these women? Well, they were in the place of the tomb. They were in the graveyard, if you will. And this was a place where dead bodies lay. And graves, as you know, are full of dead men's bones. This was not the place to find the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, because he was no ordinary man that death could conquer him, nor that a tomb could contain him. And he had told them previously, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." The Lord Jesus did not just have life, he is life. And without him, there would be no life. The Lord Jesus was not just resurrected, he is the resurrection. And without him, there would be no resurrection. He is the first, he is the last, he is all in all. And if he had to be found, he would not be found in the tombs or the catacombs or the graveyard, because he is alive. But the last place they had seen him was here, in this graveyard, when he was dead. But being dead no longer, he's no longer there. No longer where? No longer among the dead. And I thought, I was once dead also. I was dead in trespasses and sins. But now I am alive in Christ. And the last place that people saw me when I was dead, they will see me there no longer. And the last thing that they saw me doing when I was dead, they will see me doing no longer. And the last things, the words that they heard me say when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, they will hear me say no longer. Why? Because I am no longer dead. I am alive in Christ. Listen, if someone's going to be looking for me, they will have to look in the church and not in the nightclub. If someone's going to be looking for me, they won't find me among the headbangers, but they'll find me among the gospel door hangers. Amen. I don't run with the rock band anymore, because I stand upon the rock of salvation. Before I was saved, I lived among the dead. But since I've been born again, I have lived among the living. You know, there's a song that I heard in youth group some years ago, and it says, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's a great change since I've been born again. I was born again. I was made alive. I rose from the dead spiritually in Christ Jesus. And I wondered about that great change since I've been born again. And then I thought, you know, what kind of a person would prefer to spend their time in the graveyard among the dead? And yet, if you're going to go on looking for some Christians, you're going to have to seek the living among the dead. Listen, I'm resurrected with Christ. He has lifted me out of the muck and the mire, and He set my feet upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. And being found as the living among the dead is like digging up the earth, opening up the casket, and saying to the dead corpse, "Mind if I join you?" And that seems to be what many Christians are doing in the 21st century spiritually. If you come seeking for me, you won't find me among, number one, dead people. Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, the Lord Jesus said, "And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." What was he saying? He was saying, listen, let the dead spiritually bury their dead physically. Before I was saved, I lived among the dead spiritually, because I was dead spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God." We, by our human nature, the spirit of man, we know and we understand and we identify with the things of the natural human world around us. The things of man. Before we are born again, we think by the spirit of man, we talk by the spirit of man, and we perceive things by the spirit of man. We go to the schools of man, the universities of man, and we learn the philosophies of the spirit of man. And like birds of a feather flocking together, we hang with people of the same ideology and we fellowship with people of like ilk. We used dead words. We had dead priorities. And we enjoyed the entertainment of the dead spiritually. For me, as a rock musician, I played and enjoyed the music of the dead. I did dope with the dead. I drank booze with the dead. I laughed at what the dead laughed at, and I liked what the dead liked. Why? Because I was dead in trespasses and sins. Before I was saved, I was the dead living among the dead and cared not for it. But when I heard the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Christ and trusted Him as my Savior, I was made alive from the dead. Spiritually. And now if you come seeking for me, you won't find me with the dead any longer. Amen. A lot of my old dead buddies are no longer my buddies because they don't want to live in the land of the living with Jesus Christ. Now, I now love what the living love. And I go where the living go. And I like what the living like, the things of God. Oh, listen, I'm still in the world, but I'm not of the world any longer. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them." Come out from among who? The dead. "And be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." What was an unclean thing? The dead. And he's saying to people who have been made alive in Christ, come out from among them. Don't hang around with the dead people. I came out from among the dead, and now I reach back unto the dead to, by the grace of God and the gospel of Christ, bring them out into the land of the living. I came out from the darkness, and now I reach back into the darkness to bring them into the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. But if you're going to come seeking me, don't seek me among the dead. Seek me among the living. I don't need to participate in sin to reach those who are imprisoned by it. People who are in darkness, they don't need more darkness. They got enough darkness. They need the light. The only time you see graveyard caretakers at the graveyard is when they're working. They don't live there, they don't have picnics there, and they don't celebrate their birthdays there. Why? Because it's a graveyard full of dead people. And dear Christian, if we're going to be found among the dead, it ought to just be because we're working. And we're witnessing. But we don't want to picnic there. We don't want to celebrate our birthday there. And we certainly don't want to live among the dead. The last place I was seen before I was saved was hanging with the dead. But now I'm hanging with those who are alive from the dead in Christ.
Amen.
Number two, dead works. Revelation 3:1 says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Here's what he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Before I was saved, I trusted in dead works of righteousness. You know, I thought, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I mean, my good deeds should outweigh my bad deeds when I finally get to the judgment. And as bad as I might have been, I wasn't as bad as some, and I was better than others. But I learned that my righteousness was a dead righteousness. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not righteous. One, not one single human being ever born on planet Earth beside the Lord Jesus since Adam has ever had any true righteousness. But yet, we as natural people depend and look to our dead righteousness as if we are accomplishing righteousness. Isaiah said in 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So my righteousness was a self-righteousness, a dead righteousness. And my works could not save me because my works were dead works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Listen to Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Here it is. And not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You see, to get born again, I had to repent of the dead works that I was trusting in and put my faith in Jesus Christ. That word repent means to change your mind. I had to come to the place where I realized that my righteousness was a dead righteousness, my works were dead works, and that the only way I could ever be made righteous was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as my Savior. I had to see that I was a dead man doing dead works to try to gain eternal life. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring life out of death. You know, unsaved people who are trying to work their way to heaven and deserve their way to heaven are like dead men trying to give themselves life to come out of the grave. It's impossible. There are millions and billions and billions of graveyards around the world with dead people in them, and not one of them ever got up out of the grave because they decided they were going to come to life. The only one who has innate righteousness became a physically dead man so that spiritually dead man could obtain his imputed righteousness by faith. Isn't that amazing? God looked at this planet and he said, they're all dead. And they're all dead spiritually, and they're all going to die physically, and then they're going to go into the second death, which is the lake of fire. And the only way for us to have life was for life to come and die. So that those who were dead could, by his sacrifice, have life. It's just amazing. I come to Jesus as a dead man. I leave, I'm alive. And Jesus came and took my sin on him, so that when I come to him by faith, he can take his righteousness and put it on me. And it was his resurrection from the dead that proved his righteousness is greater than our sin. The place I was last seen before I was saved was working my way to heaven among the dead by dead works. But now if you seek me, don't seek for me among the dead works. Seek me among the living faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. My third point is this. Not only dead works, but dead worship. Matthew 15, verses 8 through 10. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He's talking about religious people who are teaching the doctrines of men, the teachings of men, as if they're the teachings of God. And he said, they talk with their lips. They have all the right words, but their hearts are far from me. So since that's the case, they in vain do they worship me. That word vain means empty, means dead. Their worship is a dead, formal, ritualistic worship that has no power to save. When I was dead in trespasses and sins, listen to me, I knew who Jesus was. I knew what Jesus did. And I believed in Jesus on an intellectual level and in some sense even on a religious level. I had a Baptist grandmother, and I thought, well, that had to count for something, right? While at State College, I attended a campus Bible study a few times. I prayed, especially when I was in trouble or needed something big. That's when I usually prayed. And I went to church on Christmas and Easter. Surely, I ought to be okay. But all the time, I was a dead man spiritually, and I was offering up a dead worship. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How could I worship God in truth when I didn't know the Bible or I didn't even read the Bible? How could I worship God in spirit when I was dead spiritually? So in other words, since I was dead spiritually, it was impossible to worship God in spirit, so my worship was what? It was dead. It wasn't until I got saved that I was able to worship God in spirit and in truth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." You cannot belong to Christ without having His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, dwelling in you and having sealed you to the day of redemption. And it's because of God's Spirit in us that we can worship God, pay attention, in spirit and in truth. As an unsaved dead man, I walked in the flesh, I lived in the flesh, I warred after the flesh, and I worshiped in the flesh. But after I was born of the Spirit of God and His Spirit came to dwell in me, now I could walk in the Spirit. Now I could live in the Spirit. I could war after the Spirit, and I could worship in the Spirit. Now it seems to me that there should be a difference between the two. Being dead and being alive should be a difference. Amen? I think there should be a difference between that which is carnal and that which is spiritual. There should be a difference of living and working and warring and praying and worshiping in the Spirit. There should be a difference between that and doing it all in the flesh. There ought to be an audible difference. There ought to be a visible difference. There ought to be a tangible difference. You know what tangible means? It means people can get a hold of it. They get it. They can see it in you. They hear it in you. It's something that's tangible to them. It's just not words. Now, the music I used to play, I don't play it anymore. And the darkness and the strobe lights and the fog machines I used to use, I don't use them anymore. And the lifestyle I had, I don't have it anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. And I've told you time after time, I know how to do it. You want to have a show? Oh, I know how to put on a show. I mean, I know what kind of lights to get and what kind of soundboards to get and what kind of amplifiers to get and what kind of drum sets to get. I know what kind of fog machines to buy. I know what kind of lighting to set up. I had a music store. I sold that stuff. I built those things on stage and played with them. I understand it. But I ain't there anymore. Amen. Why? Because I rose from the dead in Christ Jesus. There's been a big change since I was born again. Now listen to me, please. The music and the lighting and performance of the lost and the dead world of rock and roll, I don't need that anymore. Amen. And it irritates me when I see Christians and churches adopting the music of the dead. Amen. And the light shows of the dead. And the dark auditoriums of the dead. And the sensual experience of the dead, and trying to call it the moving of the Spirit. Well, it might be the moving of the Spirit, but it ain't the moving of the Holy Spirit. And trying to call it worship. It's nothing more than an occasion to the flesh. Listen, and stop trying to make excuses and justifications for it. I left the darkness for the light. I left the dead for the living. I know what music is all about, and I know why you like it. I played it. It's the music and the lifestyle and the philosophy and the worship of the dead. Just because Christians do it doesn't make it right or make it light. It's still darkness. So if you come seeking for me, you won't find me in a dark church. You won't find me in a rock church. You won't find me in a light show church. You won't find me in a jumping, swaying, sensually titillated church because it has the scent of sulfur on it. And I don't want to be the living found among the dead. When the Lord Jesus comes back, must he seek the living among the dead? Where will he find you when he comes back? What will he find you doing when he comes back? How will he find you talking when he comes back? Living when he comes back? Who will he find you doing things with, and why? You know, it's sad to think of how many sons and daughters are in the pig pen of the world. And it's a tragedy that so many sons and daughters of light will be found in the darkness of this world, and too many of the living will be found among the dead. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." 1 Peter 2:9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Here it is, "that ye should show forth the praises of him," now listen, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Luke 11:33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Romans 6:13, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why should we as believers be found living alike and living among the dead? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Christian, where will you be found when Jesus comes? Will they have to seek for the living among the dead? 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." And maybe tonight, dear Christian, there are some things that are part of the dead that we're involved in. Things that are part of the dead that we're clinging to. Maybe you need to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And maybe you're here tonight, or you're watching or listening, and you've never been saved. Dear sinner, if you do not hear something different here than you hear out there in the world, then I have failed. If you do not see something different here than you see out in the world, then we as a church have failed. But let me say this, Jesus never fails. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He also said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." John 3:16, of course, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can never be so dark or dirty. You can never have gone too far for too long that the Lord Jesus cannot reach you, and the Lord Jesus cannot forgive you, and that he cannot save you if you ask him to. Psalm 42 says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." My dear friend, he'll do the same for you if you'll ask him to. And maybe there's someone in this auditorium tonight that would say, preacher, I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and to lift me up out of the muck and the mire and to raise me from the dead and give me eternal life. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would say, I would like to ask Jesus to be my Savior right now, right here in my seat before it's eternally too late. Would you slip your hand up? Let me see it. And you and I can pray and you can ask Jesus to be your Savior right here, right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to move. It's between you and God. It's an act of faith. Can you put your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone tonight? Say, preacher, I'm ready and I'm willing and I want to right now. Slip your hand up. Just you and me and God. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. But I wonder if we're walking as children of light. I thank you that we are no longer among the dead, but you have given us life, eternal life, new life in Christ. And Heavenly Father, I hope when people are looking for us, they don't have to seek the living among the dead. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help us as Christians in these last days to be serious about being a Christian. That, Heavenly Father, we might have an audible, visible, and tangible difference. And it's all because of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room or anyone watching or listening that still needs to be saved, I pray before the night is out that they'd bow their head and turn from their dead works, from their dead religion, and turn to the living Christ who was resurrected from the dead on Resurrection Sunday and lives forever. I just pray, my Father, you might guide and direct in the invitation, and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn tonight is number 581, Only Trust Him. What do you need to trust Him for, dear Christian? Perhaps tonight you need to come and trust Him. Quit talking about trusting Him and actually trust Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved and you need to trust Him as your Savior. How long will you wait? Until it's too late? Until you die without Christ and face judgment without hope? Tonight you're here. Tonight's the time. This is the place. Trust Christ before it's too late. If you need to pray, the altar's open. If you need to get saved, you have questions about going to heaven, you come and see me. But you do what God wants you to do as we sing number 581.